I guess everyone guesses that this is Amir Kadir, the founding member of Quebec Solidaire and one of their two spokespersons for the new party. And so he's going to speak for 15 or 20 minutes or so.
Okay.
Bonjour. Yeah. Oh, longer.
Merci de m'avoir invité. I will speak French all along. No. I see that many faces are familiar because I've seen them in some demonstrations in Montreal or in Ottawa. And here a few weeks ago, a month or two ago, 18th of March. Anyhow, thank you very much for inviting us. We can talk of us now, all from Quebec Solidaire. And I'm happy to see that people in Toronto are very well informed about what's happening in Montreal. Are you from Montreal or Toronto? Oh, okay. So you were cheating a bit. Okay. it's really sorry to not have been here to hear my two colleagues, comrades, and to see where we should begin. But it's one sure thing that everyone agrees that in a short time, probably, the Quebec political situation, the Quebec political scene, will change drastically. Everyone was very doubtful about that 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when we were asserting our ambition to bring some important change. We wouldn't have thought at that moment, because of the fact that the right, the political right, has been quite strong in the last 15 years in Quebec, exemplified by the control, comment on appelle ça, des prises de contrôle qui sont
the
takeover, hostile takeovers. How do you call them in English? You know, and I think there is something from the corporate business that has brought them to those initiatives. Conservatives from federal politics have taken control of Quebec politics in the last 15 years. Remember Bouchard in the mid-90s, then Charest, once the Economist of London had decided that the then leadership of the Liberal Party was not strong enough and capable of composing with Quebec politics, and especially the sovereignist movement. Then Charest came about to take control over the Liberal Party, which today doesn't recognize itself. A lot of grassroots people from the Liberals who still bear the heritage of some important social reforms that the Liberals have brought in Quebec in the 60s, they don't recognize anymore their party. And now the Parti Québécois with Boisclair has testified another time its neoliberal credo by choosing a man which has always asserted himself as very, very inclined to free market policies. So the making of the left is in fact a making a decade in making, and somehow I guess Benoit brought some important information about that. But more precisely, in the last year, in a process of about 1 year, even before formalizing the union of Option Citoyenne and UFP, we began to, and I think that's maybe part of the story that you would want to know, how in practice we tried before formally agreeing even upon the terms of our union, to try to come up with actual struggles in which we would be able to know each other. Because a lot of you probably know that there were important differences between the political culture of UFP, which is probably much more near your culture in the radical movements of the political left in English Canada. We were very vocal on peace issues, on anti-globalization issues, on defense of the most excluded people, disenfranchised people. We were very involved in everything concerning the those without the refugees, the without papers. Come on, these are the sans-papiers, non-status refugees. We had within ourselves, because of the composition of the UFP, influences from political thoughts which were not only proposing to change the political situation within the framework of the actual system, but even questioning the actual system, bringing about ideas of changing, dépasser, to go beyond capitalism. Once you say that word and you talk about option citoyenne, it's completely different. I'm not, je veux pas être mesquin. There is nothing here that I
want to be mean.
And it's not, it's just the fact that option citoyenne takes root in social movements that were not so much political. They were, of course, political in essence because they were actors of change in society. Most importantly, I would say, most remarkably, the women's movement under the leadership of Françoise David, for example, has, of course, been involved in Quebec politics in the last 10 years. But they were not thinking of their action as to be ideological politically partisan oriented in essence. And, for instance, they had taken root in movements all over the Quebec with women, for example, with no knowledge of politics but involved in the defense of the right of the woman in their little community, shelters for women, women's right in work and things like that. So when at some point, as probably Benoit described, some parts of the social movement, and more specifically the women's movement at the end of the 2000 World March of Women, they decided to consider political action, partisan political action, you're talking about people who never considered this type of orientation. So when we began to think of uniting our forces, we dealt with people for whom the question of involving in political parties was the first time in their lives. Some of these women, because of their social exclusion, their poverty, had not even voted in the past. I say that because I participated in some of the workshops of Option Citoyenne a year before our union. And really, we dealt with people from these movements with no political background. So when you talk about that, it's in itself a great, great advantage in the sense that you have the capacity when you take root in those type of movements to have a more socially broad base of action. But in the same time, there is a considerable need for political education. So for this reason, we took that year to work together in some direct political or social movements. For example, the student movement in a year from now, approximately, in the struggle or in the mobilizations against the private-public partnerships in some union strikes, for example, the union for the SAQ,
Liquor Commission.
Strange how these names are different from one province to the other. So strikes in Liquor Commission, We also were very much involved in the whole issue of private healthcare and the Supreme Court decision. So we worked together to draw common analysis and critics and present a document which would criticize all that. But most importantly, and something that was noticed and began to bring about the idea that now in Quebec, little by little, the polarization in politics was beginning to change from a polarization that has taken place since the last 30 years along the issues of federalism versus sovereignty. Now people, because of more specifically of last fall's discussion about the manifesto produced by Bouchard, has brought about that idea that little by little we see another way of polarization in Quebec politics between left and right. What happened is that just near the coronation of the PQ leader, André Boisclair, Bouchard, who has essentially been, in one way, the star attorney of the corporate business in Quebec since 30 years. He began, in fact, his career as a corporate attorney, and then was involved in politics during Mulroney time, as all of you know. And after his resignation from the leadership of PQ, went back in a matter of a month to corporate business and as defense of big corporate, you know, issues. So we saw suddenly Bouchard with people from all across the spectrum, federalist versus sovereignist. You had federalists in that and sovereignists, a bunch of 12 people, like the 12 apostles.
The apostles of neoliberalism
drafted a manifesto which really draw a lot of attention in, and it was well orchestrated to draw a lot of attention from general media, and everybody was talking about that manifesto for a Quebec of lucide. Do we say lucide or
a clear-eyed Quebec?
Clear-eyed or down-to-earth analysis of the situation in Quebec, and of course, as you know, it was based upon a very catastrophic view of the death and of the population decline, demographic decline, saying that we're going to be less and less people working, we have more and more debt, so let's fix that, as he did 10 years before by the policy of zero deficit. So let's try to reduce our expenditures and increase the services fees. Okay, so it's the general, you know, guideline of the neoliberal policies in government, but it was done in the very astute manner that Bouchard has always to talking to the guts and to talking to the, you know, something that is very, very emotionally resonant in Quebec people, very dramatized, and he has that, you know, he incarnates drama
and Shakespearean
politics because, as you know, of the fact that he has changed many times parties and allegiances, and also he has had personal problems, health problems and things like that. So, and it drew a lot of attention, seriously. And it was, in a way, saying to, because Charest, as probably my friends here explained, has had considerable difficulty. He's Charest, the head of the Liberals, who is in government since 3 years now, is a very stubborn man in politics. Okay, he has had a deaf politics, I would say.
Deaf.
I'm sorry for my accent. Opaque to public, you know, attention. Very ready to go where he wants to go, and in that matter he's quite good, I think, for doing what he is there to do. But in the same time, because his acquaintances and very close netting with corporate business has been very clear to public opinion, and there is many examples of that. The last of them was the Mount Arthur, the privatization of a national park, which was very clearly destined to, you know, to récompenser, to
reward,
you know, affiliates within his party and within his businesses in his region. So in that respect, the most important tool in the hand of the corporate business, which was supposed to be Charest and his liberal or conservative party, is in decline in public opinion and unable to redress that situation. And then there was the prospect of that vote in at the leadership of the PQ government, which would have to then ensure the alternance in power. So Bouchard and these apostles of neoliberal thought drafted this manifesto to give a hint as where we should go, okay, where the elite politicians should go. And in that regard, all three leaders said, okay, said they're ready for that. They really applauded to that manifesto. Well, Mario Dumont was drooling, you know, of pleasure and was salivating. Frankly, I remember once. As a medical doctor, from the way he was talking, I knew that he was drooling.
C'est comme ça qu'on dit saliver.
Oui. Okay. Charest was very, very welcoming these ideas, and even Boisclair applauded to that and said, "This is really very interesting, a great contribution." So in the left, we were, you know, taken by surprise and by shock by the extent that it had taken, and then decided to go along a counter manifesto. And frankly, it also had relatively good success. We worked along that manifesto for about a week and brought a counter manifesto, which was called Manifeste pour un Québec solidaire, a manifesto for a solidaire Québec. No wonder why 2 months later in our Congress of Foundation, well, that name, Québec solidaire, was so popular. Actually, it was not my preferences, but we were maybe 50 among 1,000 to have to vote for other suggestions. So it became very soon also very much associated with the alternative to that right polarized, you know, political thought that was unifying all three dominant parties represented at the National Assembly. So it's in that context that the unity of political left in Quebec has taken place. But everything is not rose, everything is not
pink.
Is pink a good color in Ontario? It's very, very popular in Quebec. But Quebec Solidaire's logo, which is not defined yet, we had problems in our founding. To define our logo. Maybe we shouldn't have a logo, you know. Real radical.
Naomi Klein would be happy.
Yeah, well, Naomi Klein would be glad to see us decline the idea of having a politics. So we will decline the logo. We see then the emergence of a new alternative in Quebec, and I will finish with that, even if it's more than 10 minutes. I heard that you have talked about the April 10th by-election, which was, I think, a great success, maybe not as much as I would have liked personally, because I think if we had had we had taken that opportunity to present Françoise David, maybe we could have even seen already a victory in that riding, but that will be the next time. But on average, since a month or two before our foundation, since in fact that manifesto, when in the polls they ask about this alternative in the left, we know that we have about 5% of people, 4 to 5, which are, you know, totally, you know, it's a core committed electorate to us. Then there is also a 15%, which, you know, from time to time, expresses interest, so up to 20% in some reports. But more near to now, it's even that core electorate has gone up to 8% now. Something that is missing is a capacity to draw to us the environmentalist vote, because the Greens still want to go along, you know, alone. We have some Greens that have shown interest to, you know, a coalition or an alliance with us, but it's not majoritarian. Depends a little bit also at what happens in, you know, Canadian politics for the Greens. I think that some new things will happen soon. We'll see where it will go. But in Quebec, when you add up Greens with Quebec Solidaire, you're around 20% for sure, okay? Between 15 and 20% now, which could, in, you know, in some well-identified sectors in urban settings, mean that the fight will be, you know, we will be in the fight and we will have probably a good chance in electing a few people. What are our forces now that, you know, these figures are thrown? I think we have gained in a lot of credibility, which is just the reason why also in public opinion, general public opinion, they even think or know, you know, in my hospital where I work, I'm in, you know, in suburbia, in, you know, the most common suburb in Quebec, very French-Canadian, very homogeneous, but I see and I hear every day people talking to me about Quebec Solidaire, asking questions, showing interest. A lot of them, even if they're not decided, they say, hey, you know, it's good you're there because, you know, we're waiting for something new to happen. It's so sad to see how what happens in National Assembly. So we have gained in credibility, and that credibility has been enough even to rehabilitate words that were, you know, that were considered
des injures, des
bad insults, like feminist.
Swear words.
Okay,
yeah.
Feminist. We have identified them ourselves, the party, as a feminist party. In the beginning, there was some hesitation, but now, you know, nobody questions the legitimacy for a political party to reclaim or proclaim itself as feminist. We have, I think, been able to also rehabilitate La Gauche, because there was a habit before in even very respectable, okay, mouth and pens. Every time that they would talk about gauche or left, they would say go gauche. That's a...
Yeah.
Ultra left.
No, c'est péjoratif. C'est pas vraiment ultra left. C'est go gauche. Danse à go-go. Okay? Go-go dance. Go gauche. You know, it was really pejorative. But you don't see that anymore. That doesn't mean that we have, you know, completely become sympathetic to everybody. But there is a recognition that there is a place for a left in North America, and in Quebec at least. Okay? So it is, I think, gained now. Because of the contribution of Option Citoyenne, and if we are able in, you know, in due time to gain more momentum in our support in support for us from the unions, we can say we are well rooted. At least in the social movement, we are quite rooted now. We have coming out of marginality. We have forced mainstream media, mainstream observers, to take the left into account, so that even, you know, the polling firms include us in their questioning, because they see that, you know, if they don't include, there is a 10% or 15% lacking somewhere that they cannot, you know, the others would be too much and they wouldn't be able to be credible. And I think something that, you know, it's not noted is the presence of diversity at all levels in the party. People like me, people from all origins are at every level and every, you know, corner of that new party. But we have also considerable weakness also. On some issues, we are too much hesitant, in my taste, if you wish. We have, because of the fact that we have not already a platform, we don't have a program, you know, that we have worked on, there is too much hesitation to take position on some issues rapidly. Okay, we have to consult and we have to be sure that, you know, we take into account all susceptibilities and things. So this means that we are not as prompt as we were able before to be involved in the practice of, you know, social mobilization and being there in street politics. So the fact that we have no platform and no program now is a hinder, as an obstacle, is a problem. Now I think it's, well, we will surmount it, but for the moment it doesn't allow us to take all the place we could take because of this vacuum that exists in Quebec now. Okay? And we are also very weak on organization still. Okay? We have good people who have begun to work, but we have so many, you know, there are 125 ridings, and when you want to do that type of politics, you know, presenting people everywhere, you have to, you know, be there, you have to have organizations locally, and the territory, of course, is so vast, and we are a party still mainly rooted in urban areas. So it's very difficult to, we want to surmount that, we'll have a tournée around the province, a tour, but that will come. We still won't. If the absence of logo is a weakness, well, let it be. But we have also some interesting innovations, and I will finish with that. Really, we have no chief. Okay. For some people inside us, it's just transitory. There is considerable interest in the figure of Françoise, and I think she deserves it. She is a formidable social and political leader. She's a woman of strength, of capacity, of elle est rassembleuse, unifying. Mm-hmm. Some people might not agree, but anyhow, we can discuss on that. Françoise has all, but we recall to everybody that the fact that we haven't chosen a chief is not just clumsy
mistake.
Clumsy accord
agreement
for the moment. So you know, mm-hmm. to respect the susceptibility. No, it's not that. Really, there is a political pedagogy inside that political education, where we want to cut with politics, patriarchal, but also authoritarian politics, which is exemplified in authoritarian chiefs and the cult of personality in traditional politics, which has also bearing and relation with the nature of power in our society. So, but this takes time, and a lot of people are uneasy with that. They say, well, what about the chief's debate in time of election? Who will be the chief of the government? You know, we will have to tackle with. We say to them, well, for those purposes, in due time, we will choose. We will appoint the person who will be prime minister if we have to do that. Okay, we will appoint, but we will maybe have to do that. People in Bolivia didn't think maybe 5 years ago that one day they will have an Indian in power and they will nationalize there. So let's dream a bit. The other innovation is that fact that we want to be 50-50 everywhere, women and men, okay? It's already guaranteed in our membership because of the contribution of Option Citoyenne. Of course, women are not as much involved everywhere that we would like, but at least in the National Coordination Committee, there are 9, we are 7. They and us, they, no, we are all, we're like that. Okay, we are together, but women are majoritarian, and in that coordination committee, we are 5 from, you know, ethnic origins. Anglo-Canadians, people from all over, Indian Canadians from Vancouver, Montreal, Iranians, Palestinians. We have all from all also. And also another innovation in our party is our approach of sovereignty of the issue, but that I will leave for more discussion, maybe if you have questions. We have proposed an approach based on participatory politics, which means a form of
constituent assembly
of the people to define where we want to go, what we want to include in that Republic of Quebec, which will be open to a very, very deep and broad alliance, social and political alliance with all the people of Americas. Of course, with the people of Canada and the sovereign nations of First Nations, which brings me to one of other weaknesses of our politics. I think it's the same for you here and everywhere in Canada. Mainstream and also radical political parties of the left do not pay enough attention and are not able yet to include and integrate First Nations. That's something to come. Thank you very much for your attention.